Jerome.
Yeah, hello again, John.
Yes, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. And you, I'm happy to know that you received the vaccine.
Yeah. No, I had the second shot last week.
Uh-huh.
And so now I'm vaccinated. Feel great.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
This is not the case yet in France now, you know.
Yeah, I know it's difficult in Europe. It's But we, in America, we were kind of slow to get started. But now, with Joe Biden being president, we're steaming forward. And a lot of people are being vaccinated now. It's good.
Mm. It's good, yeah. So my first question is about your the Wooden Heart Acoustic Anthology, The Complete Recordings, Volume 1, 2, and 3. And this is very strange because for me, at the very beginning when I was listening the Complete, I thought it was, for me, a kind of the spirit of a single of the Eagles from Don Henley, The New York Minute, when he said, on some solitary rock, a desperate lover's left its mark. Baby, I've changed. Please come back. But you are not a desperate lover.
No, I'm not. I think some of the songs, in fact, nearly all of the songs have a kind of twist. They are kind of darker songs. I think most acoustic songs lend themselves to being dark. But I looked down the track listing this morning, and I thought, wow, you know, if you're depressed, you wouldn't want to listen to this by yourself, you know. But there's a beauty to that darkness. And I think the song you're talking about is the one that got away.
Mm.
And it sounds, the chord progression is very country. So I think you're thinking Eagles, you know. But, I mean, there's Richard Thompson songs following that. And then a lot of original songs. There's a Donovan song, Catch the Wind. And then there's a Dylan song, Girl from the North Country. And another Dylan song, Not Dark Yet, which is on it's one of the new tracks.
Yeah.
But I put the album out for something for people to listen to, with everybody being in lockdown or about to be again or whatever. I just wanted to sort of share some music and give people a message, like we're all still here. If we can't see each other in concert, you can listen to this if you like. But I think it's a good record. I was surprised that the amount of work went into the new songs. A lot of songs didn't make it. A lot of songs just got thrown away. I took a lot of time trying to get the right pieces of music to work together. I mean, it took about 3 weeks, whereas the other albums have taken maybe 3 days. So I spent an awful lot of money trying to add songs that just weren't going to work. But the right songs made it, and there's 23 songs on there now. So it's a strong record, I think.
And sometimes, still for me, there is for me a kind of John Mellencamp touch with harmonica, intensity, still romantic, you know. It's an album full of different feelings.
Well, yeah, but I think the differences in the songs come out because of it being acoustic. I think if you made the same record and you had a band playing all those songs, they would start to sound somewhat similar. But I think with it being acoustic, you can hear all of the nuance in the guitar and the vocal, and there's not a lot of overdubs. So I think you can be actually, because you're being simpler, you're able to express more.
And for me, there is some songs more rhythmic. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, some of the songs, Well, I think, yeah. I mean, acoustic songs generally don't have percussion like drums, you know. And they're made to stand up by themselves without percussion. But we did use some percussion at times to help the song along. In concert, we have a drummer that goes out and we play everything with drums, even though they might be understated. But we also play all the rock stuff when we go out live as well. But I was going for difference. If you put a lot of acoustic songs together and they're not great songs, it gets old very quickly. So as a mature musician that's been around the block and made a lot of records, I kind of knew what I was doing. And that's, I think, the reason I took off like maybe five songs before I chose the new eight, you know.
So you have to rearrange some of them?
No, not really. Oh, we did with New York City Girl. Shane Fontaine came in and said, why don't we do it as a waltz, which I'd never thought of. But Shane's very musical, and I'm always game to try things. And we tried it as a waltz, and it worked. It sounded Irish or something, you know. But we didn't really have to change the arrangements because the songs were written to be really solid songs. The only real different arrangement is New York City Girl.
Yeah, sure. And about Missing You, this is really amazing because in each new version, you reinvent completely your iconic song.
Yeah, it's not hard. You know, we've done it unplugged. I've done it as a duet with Alison Krauss. And I've done it as a standard kind of acoustic song on an album some time ago. But me and Shane did it again with him playing a bouzouki, this this strange, like gypsy instrument. It's like a Balkan instrument. And he played that, you know, in Missing You. And it made all the difference. But like I say, you know, it's easy to approach those songs differently and have the same song shine through. I mean, it's the song itself that's the star of the show, not the performer.
Did you use different guitars?
Guitarists or guitars?
Guitars?
Yeah, Shane had a lot of different guitars. I had three or four. I'm using a Maton right now. He gave me that last year, and it's a beautiful guitar. And I have a Martin D18. But Shane has a lot of different instruments he brings in, and the six-string bass, which he used on Not Dark Yet, the Dylan song. But he comes prepared. He comes to the studio with like four or five guitars.
Great.
Yeah.
And did you feel influenced by the West Coast music during the recording of this acoustic album?
No. I think I was influenced by that. I think I was listening to Neil Young and Bonnie Raitt when I was young, you know, when I was about 17 and to about 20. I was very aware of that. I thought Bonnie Raitt was unbelievably great, and Neil Young is Neil Young. Also, I've always listened to Dylan, but the Dylan I listen to, for me in my mind, is in New York City. It's Blonde on Blonde, and it's Nashville, and it's a different thing. But I whatever influences are on the record are kind of subconscious, because at this point in my life, I'm not really influenced by anything, but I know exactly what I'm doing, and I've never wanted to sound like anybody else. I don't think I've ever imitated anybody else. It's just not in my nature, you know.
I said that because you are no full American.
Yeah, no, I am. Two years ago, I became a citizen. I'm spending so much time here, and which is good because of lockdown, I think. If it would be weird to be needing a visa or something or renew a green card when you're in lockdown. So I was very lucky, but it took a long time to become an American, and it took a year. But I've got two passports now. I've got a British passport and I've got an American passport. Mm. It makes travel a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said before, you stay very positive during these hard times in 2020.
I mean, you know, it was a rough period all over the world, you know. It isn't just about music not being played. It's about people losing their jobs, their health, their lives. It's a very serious thing that's going on now. And I kind of looked at it in a very pragmatic way. I thought, if I don't stay in, anything could happen, you know. And in the beginning, I just went to the store once a day, picked up wine, fresh bread, you know, maybe a chicken to cook or something, and then come back and spend the next, you know, 12 hours trying to find something to do. But that became less and less the routine. And and I got vaccinated, so now I can really basically go out. I always wear a mask. It's a courtesy. But I'm glad that...
No bandanas anymore?
No what?
No bandana anymore?
No. They don't allow that now.
You're
not wearing a mask. Yeah, they don't let you in if you're wearing a bandana. You got to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I just use the bandana for the bank jobs, yeah.
Yeah. And you were so prolific during these very last months with a new album, some paints, stickers, very different things, creative.
Yeah, I tried. I went back to painting to fill up some time. I've been painting a lot, and in between the album tracks, it was good to get away and do something completely different. Nobody knows if we're going to be ever back on the road this year, so it's a good thing to have a backup to occupy your mind, you know.
And what did you choose, a mouse for your stickers?
You know, I'm just looking at it, as you said that. I'm looking at the original. It's on a canvas. I don't know, because it was just comical. It was like irreverent. It wasn't taking everything too seriously. And it looks a little like a very dark version of Mickey Mouse, although it's a rat. Yeah, but it's funny you said that, Jerome. My eyes just looked at it when you said that. crazy shit. You know? But yeah, I we've been doing a raving business in selling artwork for the last few months. It's been, I just can't really keep it on the shelves. People are just buying it, so it's nice, you know.
And how do you make the shift between music, painting, and other creatives?
No, there is no difference. There really isn't.
This is the same for you. Mm.
It's exactly the same approach. You just look at a blank canvas and go, or you play the guitar in silence and you go.
And if I'm right, you are preparing a box set with extra songs.
Yeah, we're going to put out the CD hard copy in about 6 weeks, and then... In summer, there's going to be a box set with all the lyrics, extra songs, some artwork. Just going to try and keep the price down so people can afford it. But it'll be a nice thing to have. It'll be a probably like 30 songs then. And pictures and maybe a DVD to go with it. At the moment, we'll make it a documentary. There's a documentary in the works on me. It's going to be released in about 6 months. I was filming that yesterday. It's a big project, and it's a big budget. So that's been actually something that's filled us some time, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's been interviewed on camera, like, you know, two major cameras in a room and on location, and people that knew me know me, all being interviewed. It's a big thing with a major film company. So... that's going to change everything. So I don't know if I've bitten off more than I can chew, but it's going to be a lot a lot to deal with, but it's a great thing to do at this end of your life, you know.
And about No Breaks Records, can you tell us more about this record company? Is it a company that it may be more fair with the artist?
No, it's my company, so it's going to be
fair. It's your company, sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I think at some point I bought back a lot of my albums. I bought them back and had the masters. And I wanted to put them out because people wanted to buy them, but also because I wanted to do the right packaging and make them sound the way I wanted them to sound. I just took control of it. And, you know, if you print up 10,000 albums and you get a tour, it's just the same as being with a record company. These days with the internet, the record companies are floundering, you know, and they're buying up all sorts of publishing interests to keep going. But actually selling CDs is in a, there's no CD stores.
Yeah.
You know,
so not,
at some point you have to stop and think, you know, how do you actually get music now? I mean, people want a CD as a souvenir at a gig, at a show. And some people, for limited edition, you know, they want your autographed CD. But the major sales and the major outlet for music is iTunes, you know, Apple Music, Spotify. It's got nothing to do at all with being connected to a record company. That's just out of date.
Yes, because the problem is that when you listen an album on a smartphone, the sound is very compressed.
Yeah, but it depends who's mastered it. I've got this guy called Tom Weir, who did a lot of Rod Stewart's stuff, and he's like a genius guy, and he mastered all the tracks on Wooden Heart 3. And I think it sounds tremendous. You know, I mean, it just sounds, you know, I mean, the sound of this record is the way I see it. I mean, it's just, that's how I want it to sound. And a little bit of compression, it sounds like a 70s kind of recording, but done in a modern way, which is, I know what I like when I hear it, and I like Wooden Heart, you know.
And do you know Cobbers?
Who?
Cobbers. It's a streaming service high definition resolution for songs.
No, I don't know. Hello?
But the problem is that the monthly price is higher than Apple or Spotify. It's $20 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've got to check into that.
And after all, your message in these acoustic sessions, very intense, is that love will save us all at the end?
Well, if you can work it out and hang on to it and make it work, it will save us all. But, it's different for everybody. And, it's probably the most important thing in the world because it's what generates partnerships, whether they're, love or whether they're governments. You know, love is compassion. But I